What do you think about Christ?
The world is hurrying to its final aim. The end of all things has come near. Every devout and religiously interested person knows that Christ is coming again from God. Then the ignorant will be dismayed because they neglected the person of Christ and his true power.
You also will experience in that moment that your life now and in eternity depends on the final question.
What is your relationship to Christ?
If you perceive the true and hidden essence of Christ's personality, you will open up and be filled with joy, and all the matters of your life will be settled, because in Christ are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
He who comes in glory will ask you,
"What did you think of me?"
Ponder with us his life. As long as the time is still daytime, you will find comfort for your heart and a solution for your problems, by his grace and mercy.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. If there are some questions in the corners of your mind, traces of discouragement and peace you cannot find, reflections of the past seem to face you every day, well, this one thing I do know, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. If there are some mountains that you think you cannot climb, if it seems the sky is dark and you think the sun won't shine, well, something that I'm sure about, the word of God is true, and everything he's promised, he will do it for you. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way.
What do you think about Christ's miraculous birth?
Never will any person be born like Christ, because he is the son of Mary. Ishmael is called son of Abraham, John the son of Zechariah, and Muhammad the son of Abd Allah. In like manner, all people inherit their names from their fathers. Why then was Christ only named after his mother? Because he has no father comparable to other fathers. He was born of a virgin. His birth depended on God's power and his eternal purpose.
700 years before his birth, Isaiah the prophet prophesied the manner in which this birth would come about, saying, "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," that is, God with us. God fulfilled his promise because he is faithful and just, and nothing is impossible for him.
Did you know that Christ is the Word of God? Read the inspired gospel words that proclaim, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." All the creative power of God that was at work in his holy words was united in Christ the Word. And if you meditate on the happenings surrounding his birth, you would be amazed, because no born human is like the Son of Mary, and none is comparable to him. He is unique in his birth.
Do you remember that God created Adam from clay All of us are sons of Adam, and even the prophets are nothing but creations from this clay. All of us are earthly, from below, but Christ is from above, because he came down from heaven. He is pure, without blemish, and clean, whiter than snow. But we are all guilty, defiled, and sinful, because we are from the world, and were not born from the Spirit of God.
In the Holy Bible, we read a strange expression, that Christ came into the world to save sinners. No man can take the place of Christ, because we were all born of earth, but he was born directly of God. He did not refuse us troublesome people, but chose us, even before his saving act. He came into our miserable world to purify us terrestrians. So blessed is God for Christ's miraculous birth.
What do you know of Christ's innocence?
Christ was born of the Spirit of God. From the time of his birth, he remained innocent and pure. He did not sin, not even once, nor did he ever lapse. He never asked God for forgiveness as we do. We must confess our sins, or else we deceive God and ourselves. David the prophet asked for forgiveness with tears. The same did Abraham, the friend of God. But if you search in the Holy Bible or in the Quran, you will find no indication or verse saying that Jesus asked for forgiveness, not even once.
Now, since Christ was without fault, he was not in need of purification or justification. He said to his enemies openly, "Can any of you prove me guilty of sin?" But not one of them was able to point out any fault in him, in his words or in his deeds. Also, in his final trial before the Roman procurator, the judge was compelled to confess legally 3 times, "I find no basis for a charge against him."
Even more than that, one of the evil spirits who lived in a possessed person was dismayed at the approach of Jesus and cried out,
"Jesus of Nazareth, you have come to destroy us. I know who you are, the Holy One of God."
Thus it is well known in this world today and on Judgment Day that Christ is pure, perfect, and holy in himself. No one is like him, for all have sinned except for him.
What have you understood from Christ's teachings?
All the good prophets and messengers were inspired by the eternal Word of God, but Christ is the Word of God in its essence, on which all the creative and loving powers of God center. Not only did he talk, but he also lived out what he said. In his life, there was not even the touch of a split in personality or an inner contradiction. The mightiness of God appeared clearly in his words and in his deeds, confirming one another.
In many instances, we read expressions about him like the following. When he finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their traditionalist teachers of the law. And when his opponents tried to seize him through their servants, these servants were moved by his words and their consciences were shaken. They did not dare to come near to him. They returned to their leaders mumbling, "No one ever spoke the way this man does."
Listen to some of the sayings of Christ, which he uttered in all humility.
"I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty.
Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who persecute you.
Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there was a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye.
If you penetrate deeply into these sayings, you understand that Christ is the light of the world, giving peace and true life to those who obey his words.
All the other prophets came with only a part of the divine light shining in our dark world, as the gentle moonlight does. They faded away like the crescent. But Christ is like the blazing sun, shining with all the power of its light. How can we follow the moon as long as the sun is rising? Christ is the true light, for he completed revelation and proclaimed the new law, which is love. He himself is love become flesh. So he deserved to say, "I am the way and the truth and the life. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away."
What do you think about Christ's power?
He who ponders Jesus' works will realize that he has unlimited abilities, for all heavenly power and authority were given to him in their fullness. He executed God's works openly, and no one could do the things he did.
He healed the lepers by an utterance of his tongue, and he opened the eyes of the blind by his kindness. He stilled the furious storm with mere words. He drove out demons by rebuking them, and he satisfied 5,000 hungry people using only 5 loaves and 2 fish. No man ever did anything like this before.
Some prophets performed limited miracles in the name of their Lord, but Christ brought about his deeds in his own name by his overwhelming authority.
There was a man called Lazarus who had died and had been buried. His weeping relatives came to Jesus for help. When he reached their village, Lazarus had already been buried for 4 days. Then Christ came forward to his grave and shouted with a mighty voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead one really came out.
You also, when you hear the divine voice of the one who makes alive, will be raised from your spiritual death of your sins. For Christ said, "I am the resurrection and the life."
The day will come when all the dead will hear his voice and will be raised either to life with God or to a fearful judgment. And you too, if you open your heart to Christ's voice, will experience true joy and abide in life eternal.
What do you know of Christ's sufferings?
Christ died. That is true and sure. He died after painful suffering. Christ knew beforehand by which death he would die. He prophesied concerning this openly.
Do you know where you will die? Will it be in your town, or on the road, or in your bed? Will you die through an accident, or will you die a natural death? At what age will you pass away? In which month? And on what day? What will happen to your relatives after you die?
We have absolutely no knowledge about our death. Also, the prophets did not know the hour of their appointed time. But the Lord Christ knew and foretold that he would die in the city of Jerusalem after a trial by the Jewish elders and heathen Romans and after much suffering. On his own free will, he decided on which day that he would die. It was the day of the big Passover feast in which people sacrificed sheep so that God's anger would not come upon them because of the shed blood. So Jesus died as the Lamb of God, carrying the sin of the world, bearing our dirty misdeeds, so that God's fiery wrath would pass over everyone who believes in him. He who believes in Christ will become pure and be justified for eternity.
Now Christ not only foretold the time, manner, and meaning of his death, but he also assured his followers, with absolute certainty, that he would rise from the dead after 3 days. No one was able to hinder his triumphant resurrection, and it truly came about.
Jesus also said, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again."
No man has knowledge of his appointed time to die and has no power for his own personal resurrection. Christ died, completely agreeing to die, carrying the sins of the world and dying for our justification. He is the one who makes alive, giving his spiritual life to all who believe in him. We find absolutely no man on our globe who died and arose as he did. Christ's death is God's great blessing for all mankind.
All the prophets and messengers from God died. Their remains are still in their graves, crumbled and disintegrated. But Christ is alive, victorious over death.
Have you perceived the meaning of Christ's resurrection from the dead? The Almighty God proved with this great deed that he loves the crucified one, accepting his sacrifice on the cross for the world.
Good.